And if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, that's where we're going to look this evening. We've been enjoying some of the Psalms on Sunday nights. And tonight we're going to look at Psalm 101. Psalm 101. Now most of the time we're going to stay right here, so you might like to put a little bookmark or remember the page number in your Bibles. Psalm 101. And here we find a wonderful Psalm of David once again. And we're going to read verses 1 to 8 to start with. Psalm 101, verses 1 to 8. Now, why don't we do something a bit different? Let's read every second verse out loud together. I'll start with the first, and then join me on the second verse, and we'll read every second verse out loud together. Psalm 101, verse 1. The Bible says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Together, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbour, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Together, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be revived in our homes and in our lives this evening. Father, we know many times what we ought to do. But Lord, help us this evening to have the will to do it. Help us, dear Lord, to learn much wisdom from your word tonight, so that we may be a people that rejoice in you, that we may be a people that experience your presence and your blessing and your power upon our lives and upon our homes, upon our service. Lord, help us, we pray, as we look into the word of God tonight. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. May he have his will and way in our lives. And Lord, may we go from this place with some decisions to make. And Lord, may we have your grace to lead them through this week. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, here in Psalm 101, you'll notice that this is a psalm of David. And it was written by David before he became king over all Israel. And we could describe this psalm as a psalm of godly decisions. As you go through these verses one after another, you see that David repeats these two words 8 times, and those words are the words, I will. I will. You see, throughout this psalm, David makes some decisions. He makes some decisions because he was determined to be a wise and a godly king. You see, David realized that he couldn't serve God in his own strength. He needed God's blessing. He needed God's help. He needed God's power. And before David could be a king in the public that he wanted to be, that he knew God wanted him to be, first of all, he realized that his public life first began at home. If he was going to be successful in public, he would have to, first of all, work on his life at home. Notice verse number 2. In Psalm 101, David says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. And then he asks a question. Oh, when wilt thou, that is God, come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. You see, David wanted God's blessing upon his home, upon his reign as king. He wanted God's
power. How many of you tonight want God's blessing upon your home? How many of you tonight want God's blessing upon your children, upon their lives? How many of you parents want your children to make right decisions for their lives and right choices and wise choices? How many of you parents want your children to be saved? How many of you young people want God's blessing upon your life and God's direction as you make choices? I'm sure we all do. And before you and I can be blessed in the decisions we make out there in the world, first of all, we need to make sure we've made some decisions in our home life. You see, our public life ought to be a reflection of our private life. And you see, if our private life at home isn't what it should be, then you and I are just, here's another word, pretending on the outside. And friends, that kind of life, I hope we understand, doesn't lead to the blessing of God. We may be able to fool one another. We may be able to think that we can fool God, but friends, God is no fool. And here in Psalm 101, David makes some decisions. He makes some decisions not about what he will do as king per se, but about some decisions in the home. So tonight we're going to very quickly look at six steps to a successful home. Six steps to a successful home. You see, everything that happens in the home impacts the rest of our lives. It's not the other way around. It starts in the home. God created two institutions. He created government and He created the home. He created the church. Actually, that's three, excuse me. Church, the home, and government. And see, what happens in our home impacts the whole of our lives. You know, if you have a rough day at home, well, the rest of the day is not going to be any good either. Is that true? Things are not in order at home, well, the rest of your day is in trouble. And we need God's help. We cannot do it on our own as parents. We cannot bring down the blessings of God by our own efforts. We need God's help. We need God's wisdom in our homes. So here are six steps to help us. All right, are we ready for the first one? Okay, notice in verse number one, notice David's song. David's song. Verse 1. The Bible says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Now, David was a young man that knew something about music. He was a musician. He knew how to play instruments. No wonder God used him to pen the Psalms under the inspiration of God, because these Psalms are Psalms that were sung. These Psalms are hymns of praise, if you will. Words of praise to God. And David knew, as a future king, as someone who desired the blessings of God, he knew the importance and the power of spiritual music in his life and in his family's life. David was a musician. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, you don't need to turn there, but some of you might remember what happened when Saul, the king, was removed from the throne. Now, he wasn't too happy about it, was he? No, he was angry. He was angry at Samuel. He was angry at what happened. He was angry at God. And the Bible tells us that he had an attitude described as an evil spirit. I don't believe Saul was possessed of the devil, but he was possessed by an evil spirit. That means he was overcome with evil thoughts. He was overcome with sinful feelings because of his shameful and sinful choices. He became bitter. He became angry. And those sinful choices he made led to sinful feelings that gripped the heart of King Saul. And what did David do to help in that situation? How many of you remember? What did David do?
Sang.
That's right. He sang and he played godly music. Now, what's one thing we learn from that? Well, music is a spiritual issue. Music is not neutral. What do I mean by that? You can't just listen to any music and think that it's okay and it won't do any benefit or harm to you as a Christian. That's not true. Music is a spiritual medium. And as David played the harp and played music to King Saul, the Bible tells us that his attitude, his countenance, changed. It helped him. You see, music is spiritual. Music makes a difference in our home, whether for good or evil. We can't sit on the fence as Christians when it comes to music. So when David was writing the psalm in Psalm 101, he made sure he mentioned this important step in our homes. You see, we need to make sure that we praise our Lord and we rejoice in Him in the right way. And that means you and I need to be listening to and enjoying the right kind of music. Well, what's the right kind of music? Look at me in verse 1. David said, I will sing of two things, of mercy and judgment. Notice what David is saying here. He's going to praise God and enjoy the worship of God. And it's not about himself. It's not about how he feels. He's not listening to music that indulges his sinful flesh. No, it's music about who? It's about God. Friends, that's what godly music is. I'm afraid that lots of the so-called Christian music, the contemporary Christian music, is not about God, but it's about me. I remember hearing a foolish song, a contemporary Christian music song, that had exact lyrics to some song that I used to listen to before I was saved. And this singer was saying, Lord, you know my name. Lord, you know every step that I take, every move that I make, every breath that I breathe. What is that song about? It's about me. It's focused on me, how I feel, what God does for me, rather than who God is, rather than praising God for His mercies, praising God for His, judgment. Judgment. Wow. What does that refer to? That refers to the holiness of God. That refers to His righteous judgments. See, God is a holy God. And we cannot worship God in our home and expect God to bless our home if we are not inviting the right kind of music into our home. You see, music that honors the Lord is not just about the words, but it's also about the melody and the harmony. That's what it's about. It's not just about music. You can talk to any unsaved musician today. If they know what they're doing, they will tell you that the notational composition itself is a language. It is a language. Remove the words and you still have a language that's powerful enough to change your attitude, to change your behavior for good or for evil. You see, music is a spiritual medium. And if we want God's blessing upon our home, we better be very sure that we are listening to godly music. Look, it's better to listen to no music at all if you're not sure. And just sing psalms to the Lord as a start. If you're not sure. You see, there's many types of music in the world today. Now, Christmas is coming around the corner. You walk into the shopping center, you'll hear lots of different kinds of music. You'll even hear the hymns that we sang with a rock beat in the background. Now, does that honor the Lord? Well, it's the same words. The words haven't changed. But what's happened? A backbeat has been brought in. The focus is on the rhythm. What does a beat do in music if that's the emphasis? And rock music, that's what rock music is, where the beat is the emphasis. What does it do? Well, it makes your body move. That's what it does. It stirs up fleshly, sinful desires. That's what it was designed to do. The blues musicians of old, they knew what they were doing. They called it rock and roll because that was a sinful statement of what happens to those that listen to that kind of music. They will ultimately lead them into immorality. And some of us as Christians need to wake up when it comes to the music we're listening to. Yes, we want the blessing of God, but what are we piping into our ears? What are our children listening to? You see, David said, I'm going to sing of the mercy and the judgment of God. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Friend, music was not designed as a little private way of losing ourselves in our own emotions. Friend, if that's what your music does to you, you're listening to the wrong kind of music. Whether or not it's called Christian, if it doesn't lead you to a closer relationship with God and only leads you to weeping, emotional outbursts, friends, that's the charismatic church in a T. Just building up your emotional feelings rather than bringing you into a closer relationship with God. That's what many musicians appeal to. They appeal to the flesh. And they use all sorts of worldly types of music and add Christian words to it. And then we wonder why. We just don't want to open our Bibles, but we'll listen to that music for hours. We wonder why we don't want to go soul winning. Why that kind of music doesn't lead me to be a greater witness. Guess what? Because your flesh is being fed, not the Spirit of God. It's your flesh. It's your wicked, sinful flesh. And we are all susceptible, but one thing we can do, we can't control what's out there, what we hear in the shopping centres, but we can, would you agree, control what we listen to? Hey, if you want to become an angry, violent person, just listen to death metal, just listen to heavy metal, just listen to hip-hop and R&B, is that true? Am I telling a lie tonight? No, music is spiritual. Absolutely. And churches are falling into the world. How is the devil getting in? Through music. You see, independent Baptist churches are not going to quickly change their doctrines. We know what we believe. We're going to stand on them for the rest of time. Amen. We know that. It's in our constitution. I often say this. We're not going to change our doctrine. So how's the devil going to get into the church? He gets into the church through music. And then fleshly music breaks down standards of purity, of holiness. And God is diminished in our attitudes, in our behavior. And suddenly, things start to change. Now, that's just a little bit extra. That's just a side note. But friends, if we want God's blessing on our home, we need to be listening to godly music. If you would like to know where to find some, come and see me. Be happy to direct you to some places where you can find music that honors God. There ought to be a difference in our lives once we become a Christian. You know, I remember when I was first saved. One of the first things I did, I got rid of the music on my iPod. All of it had to go. Every single song, gone, deleted. And someone gave me, I think it was my brother, gave me a CD of wonderful hymns by Fanny Crosby. Yes, they were old-fashioned. Yes, they were written hundreds of years ago. But I remember putting them onto my iPod and listening to them every night. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And I was just amazed at the graciousness and the love of God. And I felt like reading my Bible. I felt like knowing God more and loving Him more. Why? Because that's what godly music does. Look, if you're listening to music that just tempts you to sin, friend, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. Music is spiritual. And David had it said in his heart that if he's going to get God's blessing upon his life, he needs to make some choices. First of all, the music he listens to. Tell me what kind of music you listen to, young person, and I'll tell you what kind of person you are becoming. The music you're listening to right now is a future prophecy of how your life will turn out. I kid you not. Music is associated with the most heinous, terrible atrocities in our world. And we need to take heed as Christians lest we fall. Parents, what are your children listening to in the home? What are you allowing them to listen to have access to? You might be wondering, why is my child drifting off? Why do they just one day run off with some boy, or my son runs off with some girl? He just disappears into the world. I thought he was okay. Well, it could be the music that they were listening to day after day, inciting those sinful, fleshly appetites. Is that right, young person? Absolutely. Those feelings aren't just stirred up from anywhere. Often they're stirred up by the music. The music. Why do they pump music in nightclubs? Why aren't people just dancing away in silence? What's the music got to do with it? It's the music that stirs up the lusts, that stirs up the flesh. If the music wasn't there, how much cleaner that place would be. But that's not their goal. Their goal is to cause people to sin and to get drunk and to fall into immorality. And the average Christian is absolutely blind and ignorant to the power of music in their home. Parents, make some decisions this evening. Adults, make some decisions that you will take some steps in order to make sure your home is blessed of the Lord. By God's grace, we can choose what kind of music we listen to. All right, we better get a move on. Number two, notice what David says in verse 2. We've seen David's song. Notice David's steps. Verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Here, once again, we see David wants God in his life. He says, "Oh Lord, when will thou come unto me? Lord, when will I experience a greater closeness of your presence, a greater measure of your blessing? Lord, Lord, I want to be closer to you." And Christian, I hope that's your desire tonight. But the Bible tells us David made a resolution. I will walk first of all, before I expect the blessings of God without, on the outside, I'm going to walk with God with a perfect heart in my home. That's where I'm going to walk with God. That's where I'm going to make sure I make some decisions, that I work on my private life with God. You see, the Bible tells us that man looketh on the outside, but God looks where? Upon the heart. And God described this psalmist David as a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he made a choice right here in Psalm 101, not just to pretend to be a believer, but to genuinely, in a real and personal way, walk with God. Christian, do you want God's blessing upon your life and upon your home? If the answer is yes, you need to walk with God at home. You need to walk with God in your private life. If you just pretend to be a Christian on Sunday and dress up and look good and pretend everything is okay, friend, you might fool someone here, but you're not fooling God. You're not fooling God. We won't receive the blessing of God, the opportunities to serve, the power of God. We won't know the will of God if we don't determine to walk with God in our private lives with a perfect heart. Now, none of us as Christians can be perfect. None of us can be sinless. But we can make a goal to be as close to God as possible by honouring the Lord in our homes. Is that right? That ought to be our pursuit. The Lord says, "Be ye holy, for I am holiness." We ought to pursue a close and intimate relationship with the Lord. David says, "Oh, when wilt thou come unto me?" That's a question. And the answer is assumed right here, that once David gets his heart right with God, then he'll experience a closeness with God. Then he will. Then he'll enjoy a close presence with the Lord. Come with me to the book of James. Keep one finger in Psalm 101. Come with me to the book of James in the New Testament, towards the back. The book of Timothy, Titus, Hebrews, James. Philemon was in there somewhere too. The book of James, chapter 4 and verse 8. Notice what the Bible says. In verse number 8. Now here in verse 8 we're given two things. A promise and a choice that leads to the fulfillment of that promise. David wanted to be close to God, but there were some choices to be made. Here in verse 8, it's the same. James chapter 4 and verse 8, first of all, the Bible says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." If we draw closer to God, what's the promise? Wow, this is exciting. He will draw closer to us. Friends, the choice is ours. God wants to be close to us. He wants to bless us. He wants to empower us for service. And God says, "Draw nigh to me." Okay, but don't stop there. Notice the rest of the verse. "Cleanse your hands, ye," what's the next word? "Sinners." Friends, this isn't written to those who don't believe in Jesus. This is written to the Christian. "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts," there's the heart, "ye double-minded." God says, make up your mind. Now, David made up his mind, didn't he? He said, "I'm going to walk within my house with a perfect heart. And by doing so, I will experience God's blessing. When wilt thou come unto me? When will God draw nigh unto me?" When I make some choices. When I get clean with God in my home. Amen. When I make some decisions to match my public life up with my private life. It's easy to look good on the outside. Amen. Take a shower, have a shave, put on a nice clean shirt, and everyone thinks you're the holiest person on earth. Well, that's because we look on the outside. But guess what? God looks upon the heart. And each and every one of us tonight are the same. We need to work on our life with the Lord in our home. In our home. All of us need to work on our home life. And in a summary, verse number 2 encapsulates the whole of this psalm. Decisions in the home music, some steps to make sure that we have a heart for God, that we love the Lord, that He comes first above all things. If that is true, we will receive the blessings of the Lord. Let me challenge you before we go on to make some decisions. Make some decisions. Parents, it starts with us. If our children are going to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we need to make some decisions. Young people, you need to make some decisions. Well, we've seen David's song, David's steps. Notice thirdly, David's sight. As we turn back to Psalm 101, notice quickly with me verse number 3. Psalm 101 and verse 3, here we see David's sight. Now, if you haven't memorized this verse yet as men, I would encourage you to memorize it. Amen?
Yes.
Verse number 3 ought to be in your list of memory verses. Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. The Bible says, this was David's heart, I hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave unto me. Notice thirdly, the third decision and the third step to a blessed home of God is that David chose and made some decisions about what to look at and what not to look at. And he made some decisions right here and he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. What a wonderful resolution for a Christian home. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, some of us might like that verse that Joshua said. You know, he said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. But what does that mean? This is what it means. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's a godly decision that will result in God's blessing upon the home. You see, David knew that there are some wicked things in the world that he must not look upon, that he must eradicate from his home. He could not control what was on the outside, but he could control what was on the inside. And David made a choice that that wickedness is not going to come in here. Amen? See, you and I have homes, and the world is not in control of them. Friend, you're in control of your home. Friend, the TV is not the boss. And all God's people said, amen. Nothing sinful about an electronic product, but it's what you watch on that that's wicked. That's the kind of stuff that will lead you into wicked sin. David uses the word wicked, but that's what it is. What we choose to look upon affects our hearts. What we let in through these gates will affect the inside. Just picture an enemy attacking a city, breaks down the gates, floods through into the gates, and what happens? The city is destroyed. When you and I let perverse, wicked things into our hearts by what we see, it will destroy your life and it will destroy your home. What do we do about it? Well, we need to make some decisions. We need to make some decisions about what we do and what we don't do in our homes. What we see affects our heart. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. See, that is the holy standard of God. If we but think a lustful thought in our heart, to God, it's just like committing the act of adultery. Friends, God is a holy God. And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, let me say this. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of God's glory. If you've ever thought a lustful thought in your heart before, that means you've sinned against God. That's how perfect He is. He doesn't just see what we do, He sees the thought behind it, before we even do a thing. The Lord Jesus said, if we are angry towards a brother, we've already committed the act of murder in our hearts. And we are so condemned in our sins, there's no way that we can gain favor with God. We all deserve a place of eternal judgment. But thank God, the good news of Christmas is this, that God was born in the flesh in this world. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this sin-cursed world. And on the cross, He paid for our sins in full. He took upon Himself the punishment for your sins and mine. Knowing that we couldn't save ourselves. knowing that we couldn't change ourselves. Jesus Christ paid it all. And then on the third day, after he was buried, he rose again from the dead, so that whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ provides the forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus Christ can wash away our sins once and for all through his precious cleansing blood. Now that's for you who tonight isn't a Christian. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. Friends, Jesus saves. You see, he was saying this. He was saying that, look, if you look on someone with lust, you've already committed adultery. He was saying these things because he wanted people to know what sin really is. You know, when you and I think about sin, we think of literally murdering someone. And so often we think, well, because I haven't murdered someone, because I haven't robbed the bank, I'm not that bad. I think I can get to God in the end. I think I will be okay. No, it's much worse than that. The thought of sin is wicked before God. So we need to make sure we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. Has there been a time that you repented of your sin, realized that your sin was against God, that you have offended him all your life? Has there been a time you turned away from your sin and you put your faith in the Lord? You trusted in him to forgive you once and for all. Has there been a time that you were saved? I trust there has. But Christian, if there has been, God expects us to live a different life in the home. He expects us to have some standards. He doesn't want to look at us to look at those things we used to look at. Amen. But how's that going to happen? It's not enough just to know what's right and wrong. We need to make some, what? Decisions, is that right? Some decisions. What are we going to cut off? What are we going to get rid of? What are we going to say no to? Friends, you may have a number of screens in your home. The question is, what are you watching on them? David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That means, parents, we need to have some standards. Parents, if your children have a device that has no filter on it, no accountability software, no restriction on it, parent, that is your fault if your child rebels, runs out of the home and meets the next pervert that they found on Facebook because you were careless with the media at home. Parent, that would be your fault. The reality is David was a parent. He said, it starts with me. He starts with me. And Christian, it is a grave neglect if we think we can use the world's communication and not have any safeguards in place. Let me ask you tonight, do you have some sort of software on your computer that you've paid for, that you've made an investment in because of a conviction and a resolution and a standard to stop wicked things from popping up on the screen? Do you have anything like that in place? If not, let me encourage you to make a decision tonight. This is a step that would lead to God's blessing upon your home. This is a step that will lead to God's protection. You know, whatever hardware you have, whether it's an iPhone, whether it's a Samsung Galaxy, whatever you name it, they have restriction settings on that phone. And there's a password, parent, that you can keep once you set those restrictions, so they cannot access Facebook, so they cannot access all these different chat lines and make friends with perverts, and you can get rid of pornography, and you can safeguard that phone by setting some restrictions in place. But you see, this meant something to David. David knew this was important. If we don't think it's important tonight, we won't take action. And what about some filters on your computer? The Bible says, take heed, lest ye fall. Don't think you're strong enough when temptation comes. No, set things in place first to make sure there's as less temptation as possible. Parents, you should have 24 hours access to your child's phone. 24 hours. Actually, it shouldn't even be their phone. It should be a privilege that they have to use within supervision, and that's that. Why? Because your home life will not be blessed of God if we are careless with what we see. This was a step that David made. What are you watching on TV? You might say, Pastor, look, if I got rid of what I'm watching on TV, I mean, what will my life become? Can I encourage you what your life will become? Psalm 101 and verse 2. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Do you want a close relationship with God? Do you want to see parents, your children, saved? Amen? Do you want to see them go on for God and marry someone godly? Are these things more important than a stupid television show on TV, yes or not? Yes or no? So we need to weigh up the cost. If we are watching wickedness and think, well, this is just life and I can't say no to this, you are fooled as a Christian. Get rid of the junk and expect the blessings of God. Expect a closer relationship with God. Look, switch off the TV and suddenly you might find some time to read your Bible. Amen. Amen. You want to be close to God? Well, you need to make some time. And so often what we watch is not just a distraction and a diversion. It is wickedness. It's wicked. And David got to the point where he dealt with this issue so strictly that he saw that wickedness as God sees it. He says, I hate it now. I didn't used to perhaps see that before as a Christian. I'm talking now myself. But the more I put it out of my life, the more I began to hate it. The closer I got to God, the more I saw that wickedness as God sees it. That's what leads to God's blessing upon our home. Decisions. The protection of our children is at stake. Parents, you need to make the choice. Adults, you need to make the choice. Six steps to a godly home, to God's blessing. Purity in our home is key. It's the key. If you need to go online tonight and look at some safety software, I use Covenant Eyes. That's what I'm using with my family. My wife has the password. The report, the weekly report of where I've gone on the internet goes to her. She gets to see every site that I visited. That software also includes a filter. I think it's $15 a month. Is that worth the safety of our children and of our purity in the home? Yes or no? Is that worth? Friend, one picture can destroy your child's life, can destroy your child's purity. $15 a month is worth it. Now, that's just one software that's out there that's designed by Christians. But what have you got? What have you got? What have you set up? David said, I'm going to set some standards. Amen. I'm going to make some decisions. Why? Because we live in a wicked world. David's song, godly music. David's steps, a pure heart. David's sight, purity in the home of what we see. Notice fourthly, David's separation. Now this has to do with friends and people that David hung around. Notice in verse number 4. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. David said, look, if I want God's blessing upon my life, I need to choose my friends. And David said, I will not know a froward person. The word froward means immoral. It means perverse. It means wicked. People that take part in wicked, sinful practices, David said, they're not going to come into my home. They're not going to be a part of our lives. Now be very careful. David is talking about separation, not isolation. God doesn't expect us to cut everyone off from our life and live in hermits in the hills somewhere in a little enclave with no contact with the outside world. No, God wants us to be a witness. He wants us to tell others about Jesus Christ. He wants us to go ye therefore and be a witness. But God did not say, go ye and make best friends with everyone in the world. Amen. That's not what he said. He said, be witnesses unto me. And David made some choices as a believer that led to God's blessing upon his life and kingdom because of what friends he chose to spend time with. Notice verse number 5. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbour, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Now he narrows it down. He's not just talking about unbelievers now, he's talking about believers. You see, David is saying this, look, I'm not going to spend time with those who are proud, those who slander others behind their back. What do we call that? Gossip, accusing, backbiting. I'm not going to spend time with those kind of people, and I'm going to protect my family and my children from these kind of people coming into my home. Now, parents, we need to take an evaluation, a reality check. Who are we letting into our homes? Who do we invite over for dinner and allow their perverse conversation to be pumped into the ears of our children? Why? Well, just because they're a relative doesn't make it right. Just because they're the same nationality doesn't make it right. Just because we grew up with them doesn't make it right. Friend, who are we letting into our home? If you want God's blessing upon your home has to be a place of protection, a place of safety, a place of godliness. David made some decisions. He said, I'm not going to keep company with the wrong crowd. Notice verse number 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the, what's the next word? The faithful of the land. Look, that's not just a believer. This is a faithful believer. That's whom David made friends with. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. See, David knew the importance of godly, Christian, may I say Christian, spiritual friendships. Amen? Why? Because evil communications, what does it do? Corrupts good manners. Sinful friendships will bring you down to their level. That's what God says. He doesn't lie. You make friends with wicked, sinful people, their habits, their friendships, so-called, will bring you down to their level. So what do? Well, we be a good example to them. We be a witness to them. We rebuke them in love if they're a Christian. But we do not share their lives, our lives, with them. Our best friends ought to be the faithful of the land. Amen? Those who are serving God. Young ladies, young men, if you want a godly home, make the right choice of who you marry. Amen? Someone faithful to God. Look, if they're not faithful, that's a preview of the future. Those habits will continue into their marriage. Don't think, young ladies, that you can change him. That's not going to work. Don't find out too late when you get married that no, he's not going to change. Only God can change him, and he needs to make some decisions about that right now. Just like the young lady. If she hasn't grown up in a godly home, and she made wrong decisions, well, let her grow as a Christian and just wait until, like David of old, she makes some decisions, some things change, has a heart for God, and then consider whether there's someone to marry. Amen? The faithful. David knew that relationships will destroy his home, will destroy his family. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's serious. That's how serious it is. Our friendships can destroy our lives. One drunken night behind the wheel of a car can destroy your life, young person. One foolish mistake can destroy your life. Suddenly, pregnant. Suddenly, AIDS. Suddenly, diseases that you cannot get rid of. You're stuck. Consequences of sin. You see, friendships are important. And David said, I'm going to make some decisions. I'm going to do them now. I'm not going to wait. As a young man, before I become king, if I want blessed God's blessings upon the kingdom that the Lord wants me in charge of, I'm going to make some decisions. In the music, in my steps at home, in what I see, my sight, in my friendships. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. I might say this evening, well, who can I be friends with? Let me encourage you to start right here. You know, we could all know each other a little bit better, is that right? Absolutely. Make some friends with faithful Christians. Those that believe the same thing. Those that go to the same church. Amen? There's a good guarantee that they'll believe the same thing. If you mix with those from other churches and other that believe something else, again, evil communication corrupts good manners. Christians have been lured off into apostasy because of their friendships. Friendships are important. We need to have good friends. Is that right? So you can have 1,000 friends on Facebook, but really they're just contacts. They're not friends. They don't know you. They don't know who you are. They don't know your life. They're just contacts. A real friend is someone you speak to face, not on Facebook. Facebook is a lie. You don't see them face to face. You don't speak to them face to face. You cannot possibly get to know them. There's an agenda behind every Facebook contact. It's either selfishness or manipulation or worse. God wants you to have face to face friends. Amen? Let me encourage you to build godly relationships. All right, we're almost there. Are you still with me tonight? Okay, godly friendships. Notice point number 5, step number 5. If we want God's blessing upon our home, notice verse 7. Here we see David's speech. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Now it's very obvious what David was speaking about. He was speaking about the habit, the practice, the sin of what? Deceit? What is that? Lying. David said, if I want God's blessing upon my home, I've got to make sure that our home does not tolerate the sin of lying. Lying. Why? Why is lying that bad? Well, God says it is. God says that lying is not just a sin, but it is an abomination to God. It's a disgusting sin that God hates. And Christian, lying will destroy your home. Parents, lying will destroy your children. Lying will destroy your marriage. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 22, the words of a talebearer, a liar, are as wounds. Wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. We need to make sure as Christians that we make some decisions in the home and we make sure that lying is not a habit and a practice and acceptable in our private lives. Amen? Lying. It's not a little thing. Jacob would tell you tonight that lying is not a little thing. He lied to his father Isaac. His mother lied. And his home was destroyed. Do you remember that message? Do you remember what happened to Jacob and Esau? To Isaac? You remember what happened? Lying. Lying destroys the home. And we so casually tolerate it. And David said, here's a step to God's blessing. Stop lying. Amen? And parents, it starts with us. Stop lying. Lying will destroy your home. And Christian, we need to get clean with God in our home and confess some sins and get right with God and make sure we don't tolerate this destructive habit. See, if we can't trust one another in the home, that's the end of it. Really. What will happen? Well, our children will feed off our habits and then they will think, well, that's okay to lie. And when we say, how are things? And they'll say, yeah, everything's fine. Yep, everything's okay. No, I'm all right. And yet they're going through the worst struggle in their life. But they're lying to your face because it's been accepted in the home. Because it's become a habit and a practice and allowable. Parents, when our children are young, we need to make sure that they understand the seriousness of lying. Lying is very serious. And they need to experience the consequences that will stick in their memory enough to remind them that lying will not be tolerated in this home. Lying is not acceptable. Lying is not a little thing. And there is no circumstance in life when it's okay to lie. No, it's a sin. It will destroy your home. Is that true? No trust? The home is broken down. How can we trust one another if we're not honest with one another? And our children have little antennas, as I've said before, and they pick up on the wavelength of hypocrisy. If we're pretending to be a person with a heart for God on the outside, but we go home after church, we sit down, we watch filthy programming, we say we're godly, we pretend to be godly, guess what? Our children are watching that TV, but they're watching you. They're saying, wow, mum and dad's not the same at home as they are in church. Well, maybe that's okay for me. And the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I believe that applies to the mother too, to the home. We can do things in the home that push our children to rebel, to rebellion. Now, they need to make their own choices as they grow, yes, but we're a part of that. We need to make sure we're not hypocrites in the home. And that means being honest as husband and wife. That means being transparent. Being transparent means to be humble. You know, sometimes we need to say sorry to our children. Sorry for not keeping a promise. Instead of saying, making an excuse, and look, I didn't have time. You know, you shouldn't have expected that from me anyway. That's pride. If you've made a promise to your child, keep it. If you can't keep it, apologize. Be humble. That's honesty. We have to practice honesty in the home. If we want God's blessing, we need to be honest. Amen? Children, you need to apologize to your parents too. Don't be so proud and blame it on someone else. When you lie, that is a sin from the pit of hell. It's not acceptable before God. It is wicked. It is deceitful. It will destroy your home. Lying. Lying. Zero tolerance for lying. That's what David said, didn't he? He said, no one that lies is going to come in here. Look, they're not going to dwell in my house. If they're a liar, they've got to go. They're not going to tarry in my sight. I'm going to make some standards for my family. How can we overcome this practice? We're all sinners saved by grace. We all have a sin nature. Before I was saved, I was a habitual liar. Before I was saved, I thought lying was a way of life to get further in life. That's how you got further in the workplace. Is that right? Well, I'm late because, look, the traffic was bad. No, I slept in. That's the truth. I slept in. I was lazy. But we tell our boss, look, the traffic was bad. And I didn't even own a car. Lying. And so once we get saved, God says, do you realize that lying was leading you to hell? Do you realize that you were going to be punished forever in a lake of fire because of that wicked sinfulness? Now it's time to make a change. Now it's time to set some standards. Lying is not acceptable. It will destroy your home. And if we have a habitual pattern of lying, the way to break that pattern is to put the Word of God down into our lives. Listen carefully, and I'll read it as we close. Psalm 119, verse 29 to 30. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. There's the Word of God. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. If you have a problem with lying, you need to get more of God's Word into your life. You need to uphold, parents, the truth of God's Word. You want to get rid of lying? Then lift up the truth. Amen? It's as simple as that. Read the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Honor God's Word in your home. Correct your children according to the Word of God. Amen? The right way, the proper way, according to God's Word. That's how to overcome lying. Memorizing the Word of God, putting it down into our hearts. But lying cannot be tolerated. We need to be honest in our home. Honesty. Honesty. Lastly, notice with me as we conclude this wonderful psalm. Notice David's swift action. That's the last decision we see here in verse 8. I will, what's the next word? Early. Destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of God, of the Lord. Now David was speaking here as a prospective king and ruler of Israel. But notice David was a man of decision. He backed up those I wills with decisions. He made some decisions. David knew that he could not afford wickedness to continue on in his home and in the kingdom undealt with. So he said, I'm going to deal with it. And I'm not just going to deal with it one day. I will, what's the next word, verse 8? Early. He's going to do it now. He's ready to make those decisions, amen? I'm going to early set some decisions in my life, some standards in my home. Parents, you need to make some decisions today. Christian, you need to make some decisions early in your Christian life. Young people, early you need to make these decisions. Not when you're married. That's too late too often. You've developed habits that will continue. You need to make some decisions now. Now. Early. When you're young in age. When you're young as a believer. Or if these truths are not part of your life, then make them early tonight. Amen? Amen. Not tomorrow morning when you feel horrible and you wake up and you've got to go to work. No, make them tonight. It would be good if we went home as families, sat down and say, well, based on the Word of God, what do you think God wants us to do in the area of what we see? Okay, kids, let's talk together. What do you think will honor the Lord? Maybe there's some apologizing that's needed, amen? What about our music? Let's get rid of some music, amen? Let's get some godly music into the home. Hey, let's not be hypocrites anymore, amen? Young people, you can encourage one another. You can encourage your parents. You know, you encouraging them will encourage them in turn to encourage you. You're part of the home, amen? A young person, you might say, look, if I made these decisions, I've got no idea what I'm going to do all holiday. Holidays are coming up and, well, I'm not going to have any friends and I won't be able to watch anything. I was planning on vegging out in front of the TV all holidays, buying a new computer game and enjoying that for the rest of the holidays. And what am I going to do? Friend, if that's your attitude, it's because you do not know the Lord that well. If you draw closer to the Lord, there will be plenty to do. There will be plenty of time to read the Word of God. There will be plenty of time to follow up your friends and witness to them. Amen? There will be plenty of time to come on Saturday afternoon, dare I say, at 4 p.m. and go letterboxing. Amen? If we make some godly decisions, if we say, yes, Lord, I want your blessing. Oh, Lord, when will you come unto me? Friends, this is not just a magical spell. No, God says, make some decisions. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse them. Confession, as Christians, is needful. Friend, what has God spoken to you about tonight? Whatever it may be, the cost is greater if you don't make some decisions. Cost is greater. It's our homes that are at stake. Amen? It's our homes, our future. Make some decisions. This is wisdom from the lips of God. What will you and I do tonight? My wife and I are going to have a chat. Sadly, our two little kids are sick. She'd love to be here tonight. But we're going to sit down. We're going to look at the Word of God together. And that's what we do after good preaching. Amen? Good preaching is good because it's from the Word, not because it's from me. Amen? The Lord deserves the glory. It's His Word. It's right here. We need it in our lives. Okay, what can we do? We recently cleared our children's bookshelf. We got rid of some books because we looked at some of the bad attitudes in those books. Some boys and girls holding hands. Pastor, that's pretty strict. Well, yes, it is. It's wicked. God says, if they're not your husband or wife, don't touch them. You have no right to touch them. Hands off, God says. And if you don't, you'll be led into immorality. You'll want to touch more. So what do as parents? Well, we make some standards. Get rid of some books. Get some other books in. Amen? There are plenty of replacements out there, but we need to, first of all, desire a heart for God. You can't be too strict in the Christian life. I'm sorry. If you accuse someone of being too strict, it's because you have areas in your life that you just simply don't want to deal with. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's right. Absolutely. We can't be too strict. We are never strict enough. Now deal with your own life. And assess your home. David's song, David's steps, David's sight, David's separation, David's speed. And lastly, David's swift action. Now, thank you for your patience tonight. I know we've gone a little bit longer than usual, but I trust the Word of God has been helpful. Amen? Word of God has been helpful. Don't worry. You're not going to miss out on 60 minutes. Amen? I don't even know if it's on Sunday nights anymore. You're not going to miss out on anything. Amen? What we need is God's Word. That's why we're here on Sunday night. Why two services on a Sunday? Because we need God's Word. Right. If we cut this service and said, let's just have the morning service, guess what you and I would be doing?
Yes, that's right.
I wonder what we would be doing. Click, click, click. Is that right? And some of us might even be looking for spiritual food somewhere else.
Yes.
By the way, that's just an extra bonus. That's why we have church on Sunday night. So we can be fed and strengthened and challenged and move into the new week before us with a new and fresh desire to serve God. But the temptation will be right there as soon as you leave this building to go back to the old habits. That's what I'm going to face. I know it. What about you? Make some decisions right now. Why don't we do that this evening? And let's pray for